right. Thank you very much to our two speakers for those provocative thoughts. So we're going to open up the floor. As I said, Brad had to leave at exactly what time?
Seven.
So we're going to collect a few comments. I'm going to ask you to keep it brief. At 2 minutes, you'll hear this lovely bell. And at 3 minutes, I'm going to have to cut you off. So we'll start here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll stand up. I'm a bit nervous in front of everyone. Brad, you'll no doubt recognise me. I'm Ali Reid. I'm a South Australian refugee advocate. And Darlene and I got up at 3:30 this morning to drive here to see this debate. I figured that I wanted to be here to tell you how I feel to your face. I thought that was only fair. You should have known when you made those comments to the media that given your status in South Australia, those comments would be taken to be speaking for all advocates. And I was really disappointed to think that you would speak for me because your comments don't reflect what I believe as an advocate at all. So I'd like you to think about that next time you go to speak. To me, what you're asking us to do is make a deal with the devil in order to try and salvage some human rights. And as a result of that, I just want to tell you that I no longer actually recognise you as a principled refugee advocate. I've questioned some of your Christianity. What I do see before me, though, I think is a budding politician. And I'm really disappointed and I'm really angry.
Brad tried to say that what we're doing is not working and so we have to change approach. But I think the irony is that what he's advocating actually is pretty much a dominant approach now. It's not just the issue about neutralising Abbott on this, like maybe try to defend elections in the way Chris outlined. But if you look at, I think he is going to spell it out. Essentially, what he's advocating is don't talk about votes, don't talk about the political issues that Abbott and whatever's going on about. Let's just focus on talking about refugees are, you know, contributors to society, they're good people, they're a positive face for refugees and what they're trying to do for Australia and so on. But the truth is that's a dominant approach among refugee supporters and refugee advocacy groups to ignore the political issues. It actually doesn't work. The reason we haven't sort of got far enough is because groups like RAP actually advocate a political approach of taking on the lies and the myths that are coming from Abbott and from Labor as well, to be honest, about queue jumping, about people smuggling and all these kind of things. That's not the dominant approach amongst the refugee advocacy sector. We have to take on the lies that are coming from the government and from Labor most of the time as well, if we actually want to start to turn around public opinion. So I think actually the truth is the dominant approach is not to do that. But if we want to talk about what's going to work, we have to take up the lies. And I think also crucially, we have to explain to people that you look at what Abbott wants to do with this, and I think Labor goes on a bit of it as well. It's a question of scapegoating. He wants to say, don't talk about what I was doing with the budget, don't talk about, Medicare, focus on, the threat of refugees or the threat of terrorism. He says, we stop the votes, we're going to stop the terrorists. So, to invent the idea this is some kind of threat to ordinary people. Like, if we're actually going to turn things around, we have to take that on and go out to working class people, all across Melbourne and all across the country and say, actually, the threat doesn't come from refugees, nothing to fear from these people. The real threat is people like Tony Abbott, it's the people that are, the bosses that are cutting jobs and so on, and make that kind of class argument. That's not the dominant approach amongst the refugee sector. I think if there were more people involved in groups like RAC and the campaign that's putting forward those kind of arguments, we'd get a lot further.
Just wondering from a Christian perspective, was there a Bible verse that you could quote that would actually back up the decision that you're taking for your political career?
All right. Over here. Yeah.
I think we're doing all the statements first.
We're going to collect it.
The argument that's been put forward by Brad, that we need to neutralise Abbott's electoral advantage by towing his line around refugee rights is a really misrepresentation of what's going on, because actually the logic of that position leads not to matching the Liberals, it leads to a game of progressively worse one-upmanship, which is why we've seen Labor in office stooping to new lows that even the Liberals hadn't anticipated in an effort to prove they can be the hardest. As soon as you accept that logic, that's where you go. It's actually a complete disgrace that we are here debating whether or not the Labor Party should be adopting a turn-back-the-votes policy. That means we're not talking about the disgusting position Labor's taken in relation to the Border Force Act, censoring and...
silencing people that want to speak out against the human rights abuses the Australian government's committing. We're not talking about Labor supporting that down the line. Not a single person from the Labor Party speaking out against that. We're not talking about the Good Order Act, which gives guards the right to brutalise detainees. We're not talking about how Labor went along down the line on that question. We're not talking about how Labor's towed the line throughout, let alone Labor in government. We're exciting the entire Australian mainland, guaranteeing that no one that ever tries to come here by boat will ever be settled here in contravention of basic refugee protections under international law, sending people to places that are not signatories to the convention. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about should they or should they not stoop to this new low. And we have people from the Labor left saying that we should accept that. It's absolutely disgusting. This is not about refugee advocates from the Labor Party against Abbott's agenda. This is about an independent refugee movement that's prepared to take on the entire political establishment around which there is complete consensus about trashing refugee rights. Our movement has got to be independent of those major parties, and it's got to put refugee rights first, not grubby electoral considerations, and we have to not apologise for that and fight both the major parties down the line if we want to see anything improved for refugees.
Yeah. Right, we'll take a couple more comments, and I think then we'll go back and you can respond. Yes, and with the hat.
You blocked me on Twitter because I asked you a bunch of difficult questions that you never bothered to respond to.
And so I'm not a fancy suit wearer like you, so maybe I got the mathematics wrong, but here I was thinking that 1992, when the Labor Party inaugurated mandatory detention on this stolen content, was more than 15 years ago. But you made repeated reference in your speech to 15 years. Try to get yourself off the hook for that. So I wonder if you've got comments about that. And also, you're a disgrace. Make me sick.
All right, let's have one more comment here, and then
we can... I probably do without the mic, but anyway. Look, this, to be honest, this really isn't about Brad. This is about a broader question of...
It's probably a broader question of where Labor fits into progressive and social justice campaigns and politics. And it's probably worth, we should point out that the point of a refugee rights campaign, any social justice campaign, is not to get Labor elected, it's to win greater rights and protections for people in refugee situations. And, it's probably worth bringing to mind that the first time turning back of votes was suggested, it was by Pauline Hanson. And the Minister for Misery at the time, just gone blank, it was the... Ruddick,
sorry.
Ruddick actually opposed that in the media. And so it's a little bit quite scary. And when we talk about taking this supposedly pragmatic approach to refugee rights, this isn't anything new. This is what Labor has been doing all this time, and this is where it's led to us now. But now we have supposed refugee advocates and progressives in the Labor Party and now campaigning for the same policies that Pauline Hanson was once despised for raising. It also, your argument hinges on this belief that the only chance for change for the refugee rights campaign is for Labor to get elected. And that's just blatantly not true. I think the abuses that Labor have implemented and instigated have been well documented today. But I think we also looked at something like the same-sex marriage campaign, where after two terms of Labor standing vehemently in the way of that, because the campaign just persisted and took that beyond to main political parties, focused on building a community campaign, we are now under one of the most conservative and homophobic Liberal government leaders, now more likely to win equal marriage rights for same-sex couples than we were under Labor. Just to move this a bit away from the overall politics of this, I just think of Turnback's attacks the very foundations of the Refugee Rights Convention. The Refugee Convention was developed to stop nation states turning people away at borders, because that's what was required to protect refugees. If we accept turnbacks here in Australia, it won't end at Australian borders. That'll go throughout the region and across the globe. When we accept a world of turning people back at the borders, there are no refugees to resettle. So trying to hand out this fig leaf of, hey guys, we'll increase refugee resettlement, it's complete rubbish, because that will completely disappear once we establish a principle of turning people away from the border.
Okay. Let's
let's give an opportunity to quickly respond, and then I think we'll have time for another round.
Thank you. I'm not sure. What's your Twitter handle?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm at Very Dangry, and you.
Okay.
You used to engage, and then I was lost.
I can't remember blocking you. Sorry about that. I'll go back and have a look. So a few. Where to begin? First of all, my argument, like I said at the beginning, was not that turnbacks are a good thing or campaigning for them. Can I finish? My argument was that both parties are going to do it, and so I do not believe the most effective use of the passion and energy in this room is for our campaign to be let them land, let them stay. I think there are other things that we can achieve in the next period of time if we unite around those things that will change the lives of thousands of people. And I am well aware that you disagree with me about that point. There's no part of me that is seeking to apologise for the abuses and ugliness of where Labor and the policies of history have played out. I said 15 years because I was approximating Tampa and where the conversation has gone from then. I appreciate your point about 1992. Chris mentioned in his speech that the best thing to do would be to bring people here from Indonesia. I couldn't agree more than that with that statement. And the you know that people right across the political spectrum believe that we should be massively increasing our humanitarian intake. I am fighting for that constantly. And if you have seen if you've seen the rest of the draft Labor platform, which, by the way, I'm not actually here to apologise or be an apologist for Labor, but to bring a bit of balance to some of the things that have been said. The draft Labor platform actually calls for the abolition of TPVs, the abolition of fast-tracking, reinstating federally government funding to people on bridging visas who've had it stripped from them, putting the Refugee Convention back into the Migration Act, putting time limits on kids on detention. It now includes a independent child advocate, and it includes time limits on detention and full transparency of all sites. Whether or not, as I think Chris mentioned, we can trust a political party to implement those things, that remains to be seen. But however, to say that all of those things that I just listed are identical to Liberal Party policies is just simply not true. The abolition of TPVs just on its own is a massive improvement for the life of thousands of people, and giving them a pathway to citizenship, reinstating family reunion, giving them work rights and study rights, the impact of that can't be underestimated. They also have raising the refugee intake to 27,000 a year. The Greens figure, I think, is 30,000. So that's a small difference there. And there is also an intention to massively fund the UNHCR in the region to assist with a whole bunch of the things that Chris mentioned are going on in Indonesia. And so on all of those, I think, quite simply, that all of our energy is best used in getting some changes for people over the next 3 years, while we continue to strive for the better society that we all believe in. A Bible verse to back that up. I don't think you're necessarily going to agree with anything that I say on this issue. I simply believe we should do the most good for the most people that we can right now, and ignoring the reality that both parties are going to not allow votes to return is not going to do any good for anybody.
All right,
I don't have a Bible verse to back that up. So simply...
Let's have a couple more comments,
okay,
and then you can also respond before you have to leave. Okay, so let's have... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And Chris...
Just very quickly, three quick points in terms of that. I would welcome any lifting of the humanitarian intake. But you have to realise the politics of that. Very often it gets used. We will handpick a handful of people from camps so we don't have to take the boats, so we don't have to take the people from Indonesia. And there are no people from Indonesia in that. That is the political question. And the reason they won't take political people from Indonesia is because it undermines their whole philosophy of deterrence. They're saying, we're not going to take you because that would break our deterrence system down. And so I think that's an important thing. Time limits on detention. We should have nobody in detention. But if you look at how the debate has shifted over time, I mean, the Pauline Hanson reference was very good. When mandatory detention was first introduced, there was a time limit of 192 days. And as the debate has shifted further and further to the right, that has fallen off the agenda. It is very difficult to see a Labor government that is elected on a platform of turnbacks that is going to implement time limits. I'll leave it there. Enough time to come back.
All right. In the back, in the blue shirt.
Australia does this, the flow-on from that, it has international repercussions. The other point that I just wanted to make was, you know, this phrase, turn back, it's now a sort of an ochre euphemism for actually denying Article 14 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That's, so when we say turn backs, we're saying, actually, you know, Article 14 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we're buying out of that. And we've got to elevate this conversation away from ochreisms about turnbacks to what we actually are doing, which is denying our, not abiding by the Universal Declaration.
Final comments before you have to leave.
Yeah, I think that what we're witnessing right now is a real argument for why we need to have an independent refugee movement, a movement that isn't just considered an extension of the Labour left or ginger group within, you know, trying to just gently nudge the Labour Party. It's absolutely galling that we have members of the Labour left, supposed advocates for refugees, arguing for a policy that is what Pauline Hanson argued for in the 90s, that the Refugee Council of Victoria rightfully said is to the right of what many extreme far-right parties in Europe have. That's what the refugee advocate in the Labour Party is arguing, that's the kind of policy that the Labour Party should adopt because that's somehow going to be of benefit to refugees. I think this is a real argument for why we need to build a movement that's not about, you know, politely dialogue discussion with the Labour Party. It's about building the mass of people on the streets, an argument to say we have to fight the Labour Party. They're not a friend of refugees. Actually, the Labour Party are an enemy of refugees. And you can dress up all you like, the 27,000, but what did Labour Party do in power? The key question you're saying, we need to get Labour into power. We've got to do all sorts of grubby deals, junk our principles, you know, capitulate all the political ground. We've got to do that because it's really important to get Labour in power because that would be good for refugees. Well, what did it mean for refugees to have Rudd and Gillard in power? It meant reopening concentration camps on Nauru and Manus Island, and Reza Barati, who was murdered by guards on Manus Island, was sent there by the Labour Party. Yeah. Right now, there are people on Nauru who are being abused and sexually abused and assaulted. Why are they there? They're there because the Labour Party said no one who comes here by boat will ever be resettled in Australia. What about the hundreds of people, actually thousands of Tamil refugees, who have fled from civil war, who fled from chemical weapons being dumped on civilians, who have been deported under Labour, thousands deported back to Sri Lanka, and hundreds have been detained in prison, and many still remain there and no doubt have experienced torture. Their lives are in danger. There is no future, I think, for the refugee campaign if we think that the Labour Party being in power is how we're going to win social change. It's by building up a strong, powerful movement on the streets. That's what we did under Howard. We're prepared to tear down the fences when it came to Woomera. We're prepared to challenge, the absolute vile politics of the mainstream parties, and that's both Labour and Liberal.
Comments, especially maybe that answer the question, excellent question in the back there about Australia's international obligations and legality.
Yeah, well, sorry, what's your name at the front?
Liz.
Hey, I actually 100% agree with Liz that nothing will change until there's a movement large enough to change things. I totally agree with your point, and that I hope and pray that we create that movement. And yeah, I think Van Badham said recently this on a Twitter this week, we won't see humane policy until the people demand it. And we're a long way from the people demanding it at the moment. We need... Thank you. At the, up at the back, the short answer is yes, because I think transparency is key to all of this. We've said, all of us in this room have said for a long time, if people only knew what was going on in Nauru and Manus Island, then things would start to change. Transparency, I think, is key to all of it. I'm not convinced that if people knew what was happening with turnbacks, they would decide that they wanted boats to arrive. But I think the more transparency, the better. And so the short answer is yes to that question. I don't really know where else to. Was there? What was the crux of your question? Sorry, mate. Go with glass.
Probably the one that hasn't been touched on is just that once you campaign to accept turnbacks, and I realise the content of the media, but you're actually asking the refugee rights campaign to accept it.
No, I'm not actually doing that, but that's okay.
But once turnbacks are accepted, that then does not lead to, there is no one to resettle. That undermines the whole ability for there to be international refugee resettlement because people can't get somewhere to be safe in the first place because all your resources.
Okay. I think I see what you mean, but if you use Syrian refugees as an example, there's countless people that need to be resettled that haven't taken a boat journey. So I don't think it's 51 or 60 million people.
Not a sea journey, they get turned away at any border.
Okay.
Establish a principle where countries can turn people back at the border.
Okay.
It's a sea.
So, maybe to finish, I think the idea that for anything that you and I are passionate about requires a person in a position of power from whatever party to implement it. But that's the bottom line. To create a regional framework, to create safe pathways, to close detention centres, to abolish TPVs, all of these things require a person with the power to make those changes. This isn't an argument for Labor to be in government at all. It is an argument for us to actively start convincing those people in power, Labor or Liberal, to make to make those changes.
Right, they work for us.
Yeah.
They work for us.
They do work for us, and what are they doing at the moment?
Exactly.
Not making the changes that we're asking them to make. And so we need to, as Liz said, build a movement of people that convince them to make those changes. I'm saying that at this point in history, the change that they're not going to make is the one about boats. Many others that we are all campaigning for are possible to change at this point in history. That's the simple summary of my point. That's the one that at this point in history, we're not going to change. There are many others that we can. My point to reference the idea that I think refugee advocates should somehow say this is a good thing. I don't. I think we should say that the reality of today where we are is ugly, but that the status quo is unconscionable and we can't have things the way they are today in another 10 years because we keep doing what we've always done and the conversation doesn't shift. And so if we need to build a movement, it's exactly what we need to do. How are we going to build that movement in a different way than we have so far, which has gotten us to this point that we're in today? I think the reality is incredibly ugly, but I also think that the status quo is not acceptable. And that's my position. And I thank you for listening and for your questions. And I thank you also for your passion for asylum seekers and refugees. It's heartening to know how much passion there is for this issue.
All right,
actually, I will say one more quick thing before I go. The idea that we shouldn't be involved in major parties, Labor, Liberal or Greens, I'm not so sure about that in the sense that those of us inside the Labor Party who have been fighting for those big list of changes that I mentioned earlier wouldn't have got those if we just left it to those further to the right in the Labor Party than we are. We wouldn't have got abolition of TPVs. We wouldn't have got the large increase to the humanitarian intake. We wouldn't have got the child's rights advocate. We've been working ridiculously hard to get that in there. To simply say let's throw our hands up and ignore the major parties would mean a bigger shift to the right than you feel like you're experiencing at the moment. I'm not convinced of that strategy, unfortunately.
All right, we have to let Brett go. I want you to join me in thanking him for coming today.
Thank you very much.
Chris is going to make some further comments, and then.
Actually, I mean, Brack doesn't make an argument about being inside or outside of political parties. Brack makes an argument that no matter what you are, you can be part of the grassroots refugee movement. Whether you're in the Greens, whether you're in the Labor Party, whether you're in none of those, you can be part of making a fight for refugee rights. And I think one of the key things that Brad says, which is misplaced, he says both parties are going to do this anyway and that there is nothing that we can do. But actually, there is a fight brewing in the Labor Party. It will be played out tomorrow inside the conference, and there's going to be a question for Brad, which way is he going to vote on turnbacks? He can vote with, Brendan O'Connor, who came out today saying they should support turnbacks, or he can be with Michelle O'Neill and Anna Burke, who came out on ABC News last night opposing turnbacks. The vote that takes place in the Labor Party conference will have an impact on the movement. We want that vote to be as big as possible. If it goes down, we are going to fight anyway, we are going to build the movement anyway, we want it to be as big as possible, and that's why we want as many people as possible outside the Labor Party conference at the rally tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and it's one thing that we can all do. I guess to wrap up, I mean, Abbott wants to use a tax on refugees to introduce, to bring cuts in for the rest of us, and because he has made kicking refugees front and centre of Australian politics, it's almost that you can't fight Abbott without taking on those main questions, without taking on the question of votes. And we can build a movement for change. You know, at one point in history, the electorate supported the White Australia policy. There was always resistance to it in the left, in the union movement, but the electorate did. There was the idea that women couldn't do the same jobs as men, that women didn't deserve equal pay. And that was won through building a movement on the streets, in the workplaces, and in political arguments. And we've seen, quite rightly, the shift that a movement has made around equal rights and around marriage equality. And the refugee movement is growing. We can shift public opinion. There is absolutely no reason for refugee supporters to make compromises to accept what is cruel and abhorrent refugee government policy. At the end of the day, you cannot win what you don't demand. Thank you.
All right. Okay, I just want to thank everybody so much for coming tonight. And just a couple of reminders, as Chris just mentioned, tomorrow at noon, the rally outside the ALP convention. Also on Sunday, as many of you are here for, the National Refugee Rights Convention at the ANMF building. We have the programs here if you wanted to grab one of those on your way out. And don't forget also to sign Anne's banner at the back with some messages of solidarity. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
And donations in the bucket.